In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to our people, Israel. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. As the ancient Jewish law dictates, Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple for the first time on the 40th day of his birth for purification. This was to be the first of the three presentations of Jesus at the temple. The other two were when Jesus was 12 years old, when he came with his parents and impressed the priests and the elders with his wisdom and knowledge. And then, as an adult, he came to the temple with his disciples, when he drove the hawkers and money changers with a whip out of the temple. First time, parents brought him to his and Mary's purification, a requirement of the custom that went rogue in exploiting and abusing the poor. And the third time, when he came down, he purified the temple from the entrenched system that exploited the poor, like his parents, Joseph and Mary. Our reading doesn't go into details of the roaring trade in sacrificial animals in great courtyard of the temple. It was a big racket, and everybody in the temple knew, the hierarchy and the priests, and they benefited from the selling of the animals there. In today's lesson from Malachi, a prophet who lived 500 years before Jesus, we get a glimpse of his hope. He predicted what an adult Jesus would do when he comes to the temple. It reads, "For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." Phyllis Tickle, in her book Embracing Emergence Christianity, after surveying a broad sweep of the 2,000-year-old history of the Western Christian Church, makes a very interesting observation. She says, once every 500 years, Christianity experienced great upheavals, when old ideas are rejected and new ones emerge to take their place. The last 500-year upheaval was the Great Reformation in the 1500s. And the next one, called the Great Emergence, is happening right now. Whether we buy her idea of the 500-year cycle history or not, what took place in the temple in our gospel reading, which the historian Luke describes for us, is very significant. It tells about a movement from the old dispensation of law to the new dispensation of grace. It took a righteous and a devoted man like Simeon to sense the movement of the Holy Spirit when he first set his eyes on infant Jesus. He saw the system he himself was a participant of needed thorough cleaning and a turnaround. However, this will not happen without a major upheaval. He made this bittersweet prediction. He says, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of the many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. The great transformation occurred in the first century with the birth of Jesus, and with great upheaval opened up the great salvation history of God to include the Gentiles. Yahweh, the God of the Jews, is no longer an exclusive possession of the Jewish people. Yahweh is no longer a tribal God. He is universal, and the salvation he offers is also universal. What began with the birth of God's incarnate in the history, the mission of God, Missio Dei, continues on through the history, cleansing and purifying and bringing all things to himself. It is instructive for us to see the ongoing work of God in the world today by seeing the development of Jesus, God's incarnate, from being a child of Bethlehem, meek and mild, to a strong adult filled with wisdom, to challenge the religious and political hierarchy that exploited the poor and the voiceless, and finally declaring victory over the power of death by rising from the dead. Our gospel reading ends with this verse: the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. In Jesus, we see a quality of the divine being that is indeed changing, a living God, growing, exploring, experimenting, reaching, striving, absorbing, and renewing. A dynamic God, not a static one. We who are made in the image of God are born with this innate nature to prefer for the new over the old, renewal over preservation, progressive over conservative, the future over the past. Today, more than ever in the past, the influence of our church, the church in general, is declining. Our faith is under attack. Religion is no longer holds a central place in people's lives. Milestone events, like the 40th day after the birth of our lives, are no longer celebrated with the same kind of passion Jesus' parents showed at his presentation in the temple. An Alban Institute article says, with the loss of numbers, influence, and sense of mission, the church's misfortune of the moment resembled the experience of Israel in exile. The era of Christendom is gone. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament scholar and theologian, says, it is abundantly and unmistakably clear that we are in a deep dislocation in our society, and that touches every aspect of our lives. We are indeed facing an uncertain future, like the Israelites in exile, or like the Israelites at the time of Jesus' birth. Today, on the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us present ourselves, our souls, and our bodies at the altar in a posture of openness to God's very life in us. How we would emerge from the crisis we are facing depends on how open we are to the Spirit of God, to the living, breathing, growing, changing, learning, exploring life of the one who is life itself. Let me cite a quote from what the former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld said. For all that has been, thank you. For that will be, yes. Whatever was is no more. It was then, but this is now. God's ever-living, ever-breathing life leads us forward into the new future. And God says, behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. And that includes you and me in God's future.